Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Louis St. Jean provides an update on the work at Youth Unlimited Timmins Region and some thoughts on evangelism. And now, here's Louis.
Good morning, church. Ooh, you can hear me. There we go. Well, it's great to be here again. I was here in March. I believe it was in March. It's always a blessing being with you. I love BFA, and for many reasons. I was here for a short period of time, and that was a time in my life where I needed some healing. And you guys were all there for me through that, and I really have a deep love for this church body. So not only that, your involvement with the youth center is amazing, not just financially, but many of our volunteers come from BFA board members, and a lot of prayer supporters, and you're just so involved in when we have fundraisers and things like that. So a deep appreciation for this body here. So thank you. I'll just open up in prayer, and then what I'll do this morning is I'll give a short report. I was here back in March, so I covered a lot of stuff, but for those who maybe weren't here, but there's also some new exciting things that I want to share with you. So I'll do that, and then we'll look at evangelizing as well, and that'll be my message today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for this time that I have this morning to be with my brothers and sisters here at BFA. God, I pray that you would just be with us in a special way this morning. I thank you for each and every individual here and families represented. I pray protection over them. I pray just a blessing. I pray that this would be a good time together this morning, and also just a good week and a good year ahead as we strive to see people come to know you personally. So I pray that you'd be with me this morning as I share, that you would block out the things you don't want and add the things that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So just quickly, I know most of you probably know me, but I'll just introduce my family quickly. So my name's Louis. I've been in youth ministry for the last 10 years or 11 years now, and with YFC for the last almost seven. I started as a volunteer in 2018, running the junior and senior programs, developing those, and then I became the part-time program coordinator as full-time executive director. And that's just been an honor and a blessing to be able to serve in that way. This is my family behind me. So I have my wife, Aaliyah. She's in the nursery with our two girls. Right now we have Brielle, who's turning 3 in October, and Rosie, who just turned 1. And so we are busy. We are busy, but it's amazing. A little bit about the organization. So why do we exist? This is our vision, Youth for Christ, Youth Unlimited in Timmins. We want to see every young person living fully in Christ. And that's a big vision, but that is what we want, and that's what we strive for. And how do we do that is our mission. How do we see every young person living fully in Christ? We engage and equip them to know and follow Jesus. How do we behave while we're centered on Christ? And we're called to the mission. We believe every staff, every volunteer needs to be called to this same mission. We're committed to relationships with youth, building that over time, relationships with churches and individuals and partners. And we're seriously fun. We like to have fun, and that's so important in youth ministry. How do we succeed? We're saturated in prayer. We're so very blessed to have Joe Simprich as a prayer coordinator. And he's someone you know you give a prayer request to, and he'll be praying. And we want to be saturated in that as an organization. Equip staff and volunteers, contextualize youth programming. So that means every chapter looks a little bit different, depending on where they are in the world. I'll be talking a little bit later how YFC is a big international family, and we're just a little part of that in Timmins, and partnerships. And so that is how we succeed. Just a quick little report. This is our junior youth program. So we've seen a lot of success with this program in particular. Over 300 students reached to date through Tuesday nights. Average weekly attendance of between 40 and 50 kids with senior helpers. And then yearly youth interactions. So that's every interaction we have with a junior youth within that age group. It's approximately 2,000 a year. And then we have our senior youth program. Over 200 students reached to date. Average weekly attendance of between 20 and 25. Yearly youth interactions, approximately 1,000. And so for a while, for the last 6 years or so, we've been running with these two programs, Tuesday nights and Friday nights. And then we introduced a billiards program on Thursday nights this year. I believe it was in April. And that was pretty good. So we've had an amazing year. We've seen a lot of growth. Many people come to know Jesus. And so these are some of the highlights. So over 230 different students are on our attendance list since September last year. And so 230 different students have come through the center since September of last year. Average attendance of about 80 to 90 youth weekly. Close to 3,000 interactions with youth in the last 12 months. Our record night, which was our last night with the junior youth in June, we had 64 junior youth plus high school helpers, 72 youth in total in one night, which was an amazing time. We do conferences and rallies. We like to get the youth experiencing what it's like to be with Christians, around Christians, and in sort of a church setting. So we brought them to Toronto for the Change Conference, which is put on by Youth for Christ Canada. We bring them to Kapuskasing and Cochrane, and there's a few local rallies here that we participate in. We also host the annual Christmas banquet, which we invite all the youth to and surrounding youth in the area. Full-time staff, so I became full-time in January, as I said. We do a quarterly, sometimes semi-yearly, survey, and this is what came out of that. So these were two of the stats that we pulled, which was good to know. 95% of youth feel we've had a positive impact on their lives. 93% feel happier when they leave than when they came into the youth center. And that's so encouraging for us to know. Looking ahead, so what's coming? Staff, we have three postings right now. I want to mention that this morning in case anybody may have on their heart to join this mission. We have three positions. One is a full-time position as program coordinator. So this person would be in charge of just making sure the programs are running smoothly, volunteers are set in place, a lot of admin work. And then there are two part-time positions for youth engagement workers. And these would be more hands-on, involved in the programming, in the evening programming, and maybe some day programming. So they would be present with the youth. And so the postings are still up. We'll be doing interviews soon. If maybe one of you have on your heart this mission and maybe pray about it, and you can contact me, send in your application. We can get you an interview. So it's amazing. New programs. In about 2 weeks, we'll be kicking off. And then there'll be other programs that we're introducing slowly as we build our volunteer team and we have staff come on board. So we have our Tuesday night program, which now we're splitting into two because of the amount of kids we have coming out. Having 70 people in the building is amazing. Becomes very difficult. So we're going to be splitting that program. Tuesday nights, we're going to have grade 5 and 6. Wednesday nights, we're going to have grade 7 and 8. Thursday nights, we'll continue the billiards program. We're also going to eventually introduce a coffee house. And we'll be running a Bible study as well on Thursday nights. And then Friday nights will be our senior youth program. And Mondays, we're going to introduce a music program as time progresses, hopefully in October. Right now, we're rallying up our volunteers. And if there's anybody that would like to volunteer for music, if you play an instrument and you have some teaching abilities, then approach me and we can get you volunteering for that program. And very excitingly, our Moms and Munchkins program. So this is something that's through the summer, and it's kind of became on, set on our hearts to reach young mothers in Timmins. So this will be for ages 15 to 25, and they can come with their children, and this will be a time for them to connect, and we'll be having guided discussions for a part of that time, and offering coffee and snacks, and so reaching young mothers now, and this is starting as well in 2 weeks, so we're excited about that. One mission in many ways, so I'm just going to really quickly here talk about the organization as a whole. We are, Youth for Christ is in over 100 countries, started in the 40s, and just after World War II, Billy Graham became the first employee of Youth for Christ. And in Canada, started December 30th, I believe 1944, towards the end of the war anyways. And this was at Massey Hall in Toronto, packed. And then that's how it really kicked off in Canada, and then started spreading all over the world. Every young person living fully in Christ. The core ministries, this just talks about the different ministries that we offer. Won't get into that too much. This is the Youth for Christ International vision. To see that every young person of every people group, of every nation, has the opportunity to make an informed decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ and become part of the church. Beautiful vision. And behind me are some important people from all over the world, and it's amazing to be connected with people with the same vision of reaching young people around the world. And so I want to encourage you with a few things this morning. I want you to be encouraged by what's happening at Youth for Christ in Timmins, at the Youth Center, but also by this fact that the work of the evangelist is not only for the paid missionary. It's for every believer. The Great Commission, which we all know of, we're all called to evangelize in some way, shape, or form. It's not always standing in front of people or on a stage, but it's walking parallel with people in your life and evangelizing. And so in March, I spoke about the center being a light in our community, a light for so many students that are in a dark world. And I encouraged us with the truth that we are the light of the world. Jesus says that, every believer. In John 8, refers to himself as being the light of the world. And then at the beginning of the book of John, we see him being the light, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And during the Sermon on the Mount, the famous Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, he turns it on us. He says, you are the light of the world, right? A town built and don't hide it under a basket, but instead let your light shine before others, right? So that was sort of my message in March. Today, I want to sort of pick up where I left off. This is the key point. If you have a burden for the lost, the Spirit will be evident in the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act, and the way you speak. I spoke on the importance of evangelism in March, kind of the why. Why do we evangelize? Because Jesus instructed us to, and because we are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And today I want to speak on the how. How do we effectively do that? First question has to do with the right kind of brokenness. Brokenness over what we see around us. I believe the true work of evangelism begins not with what we do or what we say, but what God is doing within us. Do you mourn? Do you have sorrow? Do you pray and seek God over the things you see around you? Over people you know are lost and need Jesus? Is this something that's deep in your heart and your soul and on your mind? Do you carry that healthy burden to reach your friends, your coworkers? Do you have that desire to reach the people around you? There are healthy burdens that we can carry. There are burdens that aren't healthy, and God says, give me those. But there are healthy burdens that He puts on us. And one of those burdens is to reach people. That's a healthy burden to carry. And that's where evangelism starts, in our hearts. I love reading through the book of Acts, because you can really sense and grasp the heart of the early church. And it was to reach the world with this new, amazing news, right? The message of the gospel, Jesus crucified and Jesus resurrected. And they carried that burden to reach the world at any cost, even to the point of death. Paul, the apostles, and many of the early church died as a result, were martyred. But this is the point that I want us to get. Sometimes we say, you know, they just died because of their faith. And in a way, that's true. but it's not the complete truth. They didn't die because they were having a Bible study at their house. They died because they were causing a ruckus. They died because they were day and night reaching people, convincing and persuading, teaching and preaching the good news from city to city. And people were getting pretty upset about that. We can go to the scriptures. We know the first martyr, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7. And then we were introduced to Paul and his conversion. And we see throughout the persecution of the early church, especially through the book of Acts. I want to focus on the reason. Again, it was because of their boldness in evangelizing and preaching the gospel. Let's turn to Acts 13. And we'll go to verse 44. So this is after, you know, James is killed, Peter's in prison and then rescued. The death of Herod. And this is sort of when Barnabas and Paul are sent off. And we're going to start at verse 44. And so this is after some time of traveling and preaching, evangelizing. They just left Perga and are now in Pisidian Antioch. All right, verse 44. So the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what Paul was saying, reviling him. In another translation, it might say heaping abuse on him. And then we'll go down to verse 49. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirring up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, drove them out of their district. And they shook the dust off their feet and then went to Iconium. And then we get to chapter 14. And so here what's going on is they're preaching, they're having a lot of success. People are coming to faith, and they get persecuted through that. They get expelled. Some versions will say expelled, right? And what do? Well, they decide to go to the next spot. They end up in Iconium. So we'll continue in chapter 14. And it's good to keep in mind all the persecution that happened before this, right? James is killed, and Peter's imprisoned. And now, through that beginning part of chapter 14, we see Paul and Barnabas preaching, many Jews and Greeks coming to faith. And then there's this plan. There's this plan to stone them, right? That kind of gets stirred up in there. And they find out about this plan, and so they decide to leave and go to the next spot. So I'll just pause there. And you think, maybe they'd say, okay, we're in Pisidian. Or, you know, they didn't like us there. We booted us out. And now we're leaving Iconium because we almost got killed. We almost got stoned. Maybe we should just lay low, right? Take a little break for a while. But nope, it was on to the next stop, right? And then through the rest of the chapter, we see them preaching. And then we get to verse 19. In the 14th chapter. And Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, and thought he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And I'll pause there. So now we have a situation where Paul was being persecuted, got booted out to somewhere, and then went somewhere else, preached, had a plan from those people to stone him, left, and now he's somewhere else where he actually gets stoned, and they think he's dead. If you think he's dead, he's probably in pretty rough shape. And what does he decide to do the very next day? The very next day, he goes to Derby and preaches the gospel. And of course, we know of so many other moments of persecution that play out throughout the New Testament, especially in the life of Paul. And the reason why I bring this up and we read that is I love seeing the heart that Paul had to reach people. In the book of 1 Corinthians, you can turn there if you want, not obligated to, the 9th chapter. I love this. And this is after he's kind of, you know, explaining to the church, hey, this is all that I'm doing, sort of saying you should be supporting me in this. And we get to verse 19. And I love this because this is where you can really see his heart. Why is he doing all of this? First of all, yes, he's instructed by Jesus. But this is where he kind of unveils where he is. For though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all, that I may win more of them. And then he talks about, you know, to the Jew I became a Jew, to win the Jew, and those under the law I became under the law. We'll skip, because that's kind of a word jumble for me. And then he says, in verse 22, to the weak I became weak, that I may win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some. That is one of my favorite pieces of scripture. And I think of just my time in ministry, but also just the rest of my life, spending time with friends and walking parallel with people. This just gets to me. To the weak, I became weak that I may win the weak. I've become all things to all people, so that by all means possible, I might save some. Is that our heart this morning? And people will ask, how can YFC have such a large vision? Every young person, really? Yes, every young person. Why? Because we anguish over their souls. Christians should be the most compassionate people around. And compassion brings about sorrow and anguish over people. Do we fast? Do we pray? Do we get up at 3 in the morning with someone on our mind? And if not, when was the last time that happened? Myself regularly. Please don't assume that I'm preaching at you this morning. I want to encourage all of us, especially myself, to ask God for His Spirit to be evident in my life for 3 primary reasons. First and foremost, the Holy Spirit's job in us is to conform us into the image of Christ through a lifelong process called sanctification. Second, that the Spirit would produce in me good fruit and help me grow in His gifts so that I may help edify the body of Christ. And the third thing is, again, for those fruit and gifts to be able to help reach the lost. And that should be our prayer this morning. Again, the work of evangelism starts within us. If you seek God and ask Him to share His heart with you, He will. That's a promise. So how do we reach a world that desperately needs Jesus? By the Holy Spirit's work within us. And if it's not starting from a place of sorrow and anguish over what we see around us, then it's just a program. It's just a conversation. It's just another ministry. It has to start from a place of deep concern over what we see going around us. We go to Galatians 5, and Paul is speaking about this spiritual battle that happens within us. And he does that, I think, intentionally right before introducing the fruit of the Spirit. And we get to verse, we need to acknowledge the spiritual battle that we're in, and that's his point. The devil knows that he can't have your soul unless you believe you can lose your salvation, but I don't. He knows he can't have you. And so his goal becomes to get the fight out of you, right? Get the passion out of you. And Paul describes this fight between the flesh and our spirit. And I say, walk by the Spirit. This is verse 16. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. And these are opposed to one another to keep you from doing things you want to do. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he lists off some different types of sins there. So before Paul talks about the fruit, which I'll get to because that's a very important part, he warns us against this battle, that we must take it seriously. Paul is sort of saying the fruit will be there, but be aware of this battle within you, between the Spirit and your flesh. Paul says in another place, right, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. There's this battle, and we all have it. And if you're at the point in your life where you're no longer fighting, then there's one of two things going on. Either you think you no longer sin and are self-righteous, or you've grieved and quenched the Spirit so much in your life that you can't hear his voice anymore. And that's a very difficult and scary place to be. That battle we have to take seriously, and we have to fight. God's grace is sufficient and his mercies are new every morning, but don't delay. Sometimes in our lives we need to confess, and I've been there. God, search me, renew my mind, renew my heart. Spark in me again that passion so I can fight. I'll speak quickly on the fruit of the Spirit as I close. In a nutshell, as the Spirit works within us, he produces good fruit. People can see that fruit. That's the whole point. And taste it. That's what it means to let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds. What is that? That's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We go to verse 22 in the fifth chapter, and that's where we see these fruit introduced. So Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Actually, I'll pause at joy. You want to truly have an impact on the world around you, a world that is filled with depression and anxiety, stress and worry? More than ever before, be the joyful person in their life. In the book of Nehemiah, we get this beautiful contrast of weeping and sorrow, but still having the joy of the Lord. And Jerusalem is in ruins, right? And Nehemiah is in anguish, mourning, fasting, praying, day and night. But then he also reminds us in the 8th chapter, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The church, Christians, should be a combination of the most compassionate people around that are driven by the anguish within them over the souls of others, while having the Spirit working within them to produce joy. Christians should be the most joyful people around. I heard a preacher say, some Christians look like they've been baptized in lemon juice, right? Does joy pour out of you? Is joy a fruit that people can see in your life? Love, joy. I know I'm only at 2 and 9, sorry. All right. And then we have peace. We have patience. We have kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'll read these 9 again, and maybe we can just sort of reflect in our lives, our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions and our words. If we can think back on our week, and we're not perfect, far from it, but if we can look back on our week in our workplaces, at home, with friends around us, are these the fruit that people see and taste from our lives? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The way we think, feel, act, and speak. Now, Romans 10 is clear. How can they know if they haven't heard? Yes, we need to evangelize by sharing the gospel in a clear way so that people can understand. But the Spirit produces those fruit in us so that we can edify the body, but also reach the world. These fruit are what people should see in us. And they should want to taste that. They will want that for themselves. And that's a big part of evangelizing, walking parallel with people. The other, things that the Spirit does within us is introduces gifts, right? And we see the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, in Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, and in Ephesians. Won't get to all of them. And I personally believe some of those gifts stayed with the early church. People, you know, there is that that people argue. But regardless, I do believe every believer is given a spiritual gift. And when you know that spiritual gift for yourself, you use that, right? If your gift is administration, then do so diligently. If your gift is wisdom or faith or mercy or service, do that. And do that well to edify the body, but also reach the lost. The Spirit empowers us, all different members of the body, with different talents and abilities, gifts, and the fruit that come out that He produces in us. The vision of your life. What do you want to see? And for Youth for Christ, for myself, I carry the burden to reach a lost generation. And I carry that same desire for my friends and my family that don't know Jesus. Walk parallel with people, wherever you are. Like I said, it's not only for the paid missionary. Youth for Christ is not the only mission field in my life. It's not the only way I evangelize. And in the same way, every single one of us have a mission field around us. And bringing up the gifts again, some people may say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I'll leave that to the evangelist. While someone else might not have the gift of mercy, doesn't mean they shouldn't be merciful. Right? We have a spiritual gift. It might not be evangelizing. Doesn't mean you're not called to evangelize. Just means the one with that gift might find it easier. Right? It's like the person that has the gift of mercy might find it easier to be merciful. But not everyone else is exempt from being merciful, right? And so I'll leave us with that. I hope you're encouraged this morning about what's going on with Youth for Christ, but also encouraged in your own life to walk with people and introduce the gospel, first of all, by using your actions and your words, that they may see good fruit from your life. I'll pray, but right before I do, I forgot to add this to the report time, but if you would like to volunteer for any of the new programs coming up, we do need volunteers, whether it's the music program, the Moms and Munchkins program, we're going to eventually have some after-school programs, the Coffee House. If you'd like to volunteer for any of those, please come see me afterwards. I have some volunteer forms as well. To partner with the Youth Center, we are looking for more partnerships. To as the program grow, we are spending a little bit more money, right, on youth, on activities, on food. And so if you'd like to become a partner for the general budget to support the programs, you can do that. If you'd like to become one of my partners to allow me to continue this work as a missionary for Youth for Christ, as the executive director, I'd love to talk to you afterwards. And with that, I'll finish off in prayer. God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for this incredible body here. I thank you for the wisdom that is within this church, the love that's within this church. And God, we just pray as we go from here into our own little worlds, God, that you would help us just be a light in our community, that you'd show us the importance of that, but also the how to do that. That we would not quench your Holy Spirit. That we would not become self-righteous either. That you would remind us of the importance of just that battle and taking it seriously. So that your Spirit can produce good fruit in us that people can see. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.